course, that welcome's been already given to those of you who are first-timers here. We appreciate your coming and trust that you'll come again. We're a small, independent, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, and if you'd like to know any more about us, take one of those visitor's cards and fill it out and let us have it at the close. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the woman who told the Easter story. You have your New Testament? Look at John chapter 20, will you? The 20th chapter of the 4th Gospel. The Gospel by John and verse 18. The 18th verse of the 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. Mary Magdalene came, C-A-M-E, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these words unto her. What's so great about that? Well, there's several things. Mary Magdalene came, ferreted out those cringing disciples, and told them that she had seen the Lord. Astounding. Is she out of her head? Doesn't she know that he's dead? Oh, Mary said, he's not dead anymore, brothers. He's not anymore. He's not dead anymore, sisters. He's alive again. He's risen. And I saw him. And not only I saw him, but I heard him. He talked to me and he called me by my name. You know, there are two very, to me, astonishing things about the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. Fact number one that is astonishing is this. That during the 40 days that our Lord spent on the earth between his resurrection and his ascension, he never once visited his enemies. And the second astonishing fact is that after he rose from the dead, he first appeared unto a woman. I never would have expected that. I don't think you would have either if you're conversant with the Gospels. I think most of us, had we been guessing, would have said that the Lord, the risen Lord, would first of all appear to John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and who was the closest and the most intimate of the 12, I would have guessed that John would have had the honor of seeing as the first one, the risen Christ. But he didn't. He didn't appear to John. I would have said then, well, then it must have been to Peter. No, the Lord bypassed Peter. He bypassed all the men folk. And he appeared first to a woman. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 9. Will you listen as I read it? Now when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Wow. Mary Magdalene. She stands in the place of honor of being the first witness of the resurrection. Who was she? There are several Marys in the New Testament, but this Mary is quite distinguished. Distinguished because of her past. It was pretty grisly, folks. She had a grisly, sinful bondage of a past. She's called Mary Magdalene because she came from the town of Magdala. Magdala was a little town that snuggled on the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is that pretty little lake in northern Israel that's 15 miles long and about 7 or 8 miles wide. And around that town in the days of the Lord Jesus, there were a number of towns. Capernaum was there, Tiberias was there, and others. But there was one called Magdala. Now, this girl came from Magdala, and everybody that came from that town was known as a Magdalene. You got it? Because she came from Magdala. So to distinguish her from the other Marys in the New Testament, she's always called Mary Magdalene or Mary of Magdala. She surfaces throughout the Gospels. She's here, she disappears, and she's here, she disappears, and she's over here, and so on. And I want you to just think with me a little about Mary Magdalene. First thing I know about her is she came to Jesus. She came to Jesus where he was, and she came to Jesus as she was. This woman was infested. Is that the right word? She was infested by seven demons. Bad enough to have one demon taking up his residence in the body of the house of your body, but seven of them. She was a woman who was completely captivated by the devil. She was in bondage. I don't know much about her past. She may have tried the various psychologists. She may have been to the best psychiatrist. She may have even tried an exorcist. I don't know. But I know that that woman was bound morally, emotionally, and every other way by that infestation of demon spirits that were controlling her life. And after the hopelessness of every attempt to rid herself of those unwanted inmates, she came to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he expelled those demons from her. He was the only one who could handle them. By the way, have you come to Jesus? She came to Jesus as she was. She couldn't handle her own problems. She was not told to assert her self-esteem and all that kind of nonsense and to rise above her problems and be her own savior and her own deliverer. She could not do that. And in her desperation and her need, when she had come to the end of her own resources, she came to the Lord Jesus and he delivered her. She came at her bonds were broken, her chains were snapped, and she was liberated. Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven demons. You may not have seven demons in you. I'm not suggesting that. It's possible, though. Demonism today is on the increase everywhere, my friends. And I believe that the same Christ that delivered her from those unwanted foul spirits can deliver any man or woman. But we need to keep, my friends, clean of Satan's machinations. We need to keep away from Ouija boards. Have nothing to do with them. Dungeons and Dragons, young people. Burn them. Throw them out. They lead into demonism. Demonism is on the advance today. Demons never come and say, hey, I'm a demon and I'm going to invade you. They come through a disguise and they sneak in the back door and they pervade and control life very often. Mary Magdalene was possessed of seven of them, and when she came to the great conquering Christ, he delivered her. I was thinking of a verse in Colossians that says this. In Colossians chapter 1, it says to every one of us who is a Christian, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of with the saints in light, who hath delivered us, listen to this, hath delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Let me read that again. Did I get that straight? Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There are two kingdoms. There are two great areas. One, my friends, is the dominion of sin and Satan. That's a kingdom. And there's a despotic Pharaoh. There's a Hitler, the devil himself, who rules with an iron and tyrannical hand over all of his victims. You and I began our career in that kingdom of darkness. But the Lord Jesus Christ takes men and women out, and he delivers them, and he puts them in another kingdom. In the kingdom of the Son of his love. In which kingdom are you this morning? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light? Who is your boss man? To whom do you swear allegiance? Is Christ Lord? Have you come under his authority? Mary Magdalene did. She came to Jesus loaded with problems, and he delivered her. He can deliver you from your sins. He can snap that habit that you cannot handle. Got a problem? Got a habit? A vicious habit that has become so, has such a grip upon you that you can't break? I know a Christ who breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. He liberated her. She came to Jesus. But then there's something else that she did. Mary Magdalene followed Jesus. Is your Bible open? Look at Luke 8 with me, will you? Luke chapter 8. You don't have a Bible, reach for the one that's in the pew in the rack just ahead of you. The 8th chapter of Luke's gospel is beautiful. Verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women. Now watch this. And certain women. The 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Say, Mary, you weren't the only one. I see there were other of your sisters, others of your lady friends, and you were all healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And then in the middle of verse 2, it says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 demons. Well, that's wonderful. But now look at the next verse. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's servant, steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered unto him of their substance. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Let me explain. The Lord Jesus was going all over the country, preaching, healing, blessing people, and the 12 were with him, and there were some women in that company. And what did those women do? It says they ministered to him of their substance. What does that mean? It simply means that they darned their socks, and they washed their clothes, and they cooked their meals. And those women ministered to the Savior. And who among them? Who do you guess was among them? Mary Magdalene was among them. Say, what are you doing here, Mary? She says, I love the man who saved me. I'm following him. I want to. Did he tell you you had to follow him? No, he didn't. Well, then what are you following him for? Because I loved him, and he liberated me, and he set me free. And he's my Savior. He's my Lord. She followed the Lord Jesus without being told. Our Lord didn't say to Mary, I'll cast those demons out of you, providing you follow me and cook my food and look after me. I'll make a bargain with you. I'll do this for you on the condition that you'll do this for me. The Lord, my dear friends, Jesus Christ is not a bargainer. He's not a haggler. He healed her. By grace. By grace. Without making any legal demands upon her. But my friends, she followed him voluntarily as a dog follows his master. She followed him because she loved him. And she served him. And she and these other women looked after the Lord's needs. I often wonder, concerning that seamless robe that the Lord left when they crucified him. Do you remember the crucifixion? Those 4 soldiers sat there on the ground waiting for those 3 victims to expire on those 3 crosses. Sometimes they hung on those crosses, my friends, not only for hours, but for days, for crucifixion was the most barbarous of all executions ever been conceived by the human mind. They hung for days. They hung for days sometimes. Lapsed into unconsciousness, the blood clotted in the wounds, until death came and removed them. Those soldiers sat down and they gambled for the garments of the victim on the middle cross. You remember? And one of the garments was a seamless robe woven from the top throughout, John says. I wonder where the Lord got that robe. I wonder if Mary's sanctified fingers hadn't had something to do with putting that robe together, making the Lord a coat that the Lord wore up until his cross, and then the executioners gambled for it. You remember? I don't know where he got that seamless robe. But I wonder if Mary had anything to do with it. I don't know. I don't know. But she ministered to him. She followed him. You tell me you're a Christian, you're a child of God. Are you following the Lord? Are you showing by your life that he has become your liberator, your savior, and you're following him obediently? Or are you saying, Lord, thanks for saving me, now I'm on my own? That is not New Testament Christianity. It's not genuine Christianity at all. For my friends, the lines of the poet are so true. I need not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave in love to God's dear Son. She followed him voluntarily because she loved him and she ministered to him. Mary Magdalene was not a preacher. Mary Magdalene, my friends, was a follower, but she told what she knew. She followed him. And then another thing that Mary did, she not only came to Jesus, she not only followed Jesus, but she stood for Jesus. She what? She stood for Jesus. John 20, where are you? The 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. It says this, or is it the 19th? The 19th chapter of John, let me read it. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. What's so great about that? I'll tell you what's so great about it, my friends. There were three women and one man stood at that cross. Now, to stand by that cross would put them in a place of identity with that crucified, rejected, executed Jesus. The soldiers sat down. It says sitting down they watched him there. The soldiers sat down and they played their sordid games and they threw their dice to see who would be the winner on the clothes that the Lord left. They sat down and watched him there, but there stood by the cross of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. She stood there. She stood. Are you standing, my friends? Are you and am I standing boldly, even though it be alone, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And that's true. She stood there. That took courage. And the soldiers said, what are these women standing there? Do they belong to him? Yes, we belong to him. Let me give you my testimony, soldier. I was a Galilean from the north. I was infested with evil spirits. I was under the control of those alien spirits of the devil. I could not rid myself of them. I could not be my own savior. I came to him. He changed my whole life. My life was never the same again after I met him. Now you're putting him to death. She couldn't understand it, but she said, I can stand for him. I can stand for him. She stood by the cross of Jesus. Peter, where are you, Peter? No answer. Peter's hiding. Where are you, John? He's hiding. Where are all those apostles? What about those that said, we will never deny you? What about those that affirmed in the upper room that all deny you, yet we won't? You can look on us, Lord, we're true blue. Where are they? They've all gone into hiding. They've all made a getaway into the woods. They're gone. This woman stood there. She stood. She stood for Jesus in that critical, critical hour. John puts it in his record. John was the only man that stood there. Three women and one man that stood by the cross of Jesus, him whom Jesus loved. That was John. He always referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times in the Gospel of John, he refers to himself in that indirect way, that disciple whom Jesus loved. And John was standing there. John was there, and those three women, and they were standing watching the agonies of the Lord of glory as he bare our sins and took upon himself all the full storm of the judgment of a holy God. Let me say a word in passing. The death of Christ on Good Friday took 6 hours from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. The first 3 hours were in the light. The last 3 hours were in the darkness. In the first 3 hours from 9 o'clock in the morning until 12 noon, man did his worst to Jesus, the Son of God. Jew and Gentile joined hands in the murderous rejection of God's Christ. Israel committed its greatest crime in the murder of her Messiah. And Israel is not God's people today. Don't fool yourself. They are not God's people. They were God's people. They will be God's people again. But in the meantime, the lo am I. They're not my people. They murdered God's Son, and they flung into the face of heaven their contemptuous rejection of him. And Jew and Gentile joined hands in a rejection of Christ, and over his cross, his accusation was in a threefold language, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The whole world was represented in those three languages. Roman, with the Latin, Roman power, its great imperial Gentile power. The Greek language was written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. It was written in Greek. That was the language of culture. That was the language of the intelligentsia, the Greek language. And then it was also written in Hebrew. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The whole world was represented in that rejection. And in the first 3 hours, our Lord suffered the awful onslaught of the hatred of men in the world's rejection of him. The last 3 hours were hours of blackness. At high noon, the sun went out of business, and a great invisible hand pulled a crape across the sky, and the sun went out of business, and darkness covered the whole land from the sixth hour, that was noon, until the ninth hour, that was 3 in the afternoon. During that second ordeal, our Lord did not suffer so much at the hands of men as he suffered at the hands of God. Never limit the atonement to man's hate of Christ. God poured out upon him all his judgment in the last 3 hours. And for 3 hours, there was silence. Our Lord was absolutely alone in the darkness. Oh, what a load was thine to bear alone in that dark hour. Our sins and all their terror there. God's wrath and Satan's power. Save me from the lion's mouth, he cried, 22nd Psalm. Save me from the lion's mouth. The lion was there. The dogs were there. The unicorns were there, all closing in upon him. And out of the agony and the depth of his soul, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the only why in the life of the Lord Jesus. There are many whys in my life. There was only one why that ever came from the lips of my divine Lord. Why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook him in those last 3 hours because God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He cannot look on sin. And he abandoned his son, and he was left alone. He was left alone, my friends, alone, I say, in those 3 hours, in order that he might not be alone forever. Hallelujah. Because he was alone then, he's not going to be alone throughout eternity. You and I, by his infinite grace and by the value of his atoning blood, are going to be there to swell the triumphs of his train. Mary stood there. She stood and watched him die. But then not only that, but Mary worshiped Jesus. She came to Jesus. She followed Jesus. She stood for Jesus. And then she worshiped him. I'm going to read it, the story, from the NIV, the New International. You just listen. This is John's account. Early on the first day of the week, while it was yet dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now, this is Easter Sunday morning, mind you. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. Can you hear them panting? They were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. By the way, it was a cave, not a hole in the ground. It was a cave. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the other linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, that was John, also went inside and saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. They're gone now. But Mary, who had gotten there first, she stayed. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. See, it was in the half light of the morning. Her eyes were swimming with tears. She turned around and looked through her tears in that twilight, and thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. I'll take him away." My friends, for a feeble woman to carry a corpse, alone, unaided? Say, wait a minute, Mary. That's a pretty big order you're offering there. You're offering, if this gardener shows you where the body is, you'll come and... How are you? But love knows no impossibilities. Love knows no impossibilities. And the Lord Jesus turned and he said, "Mary." I wish I could say it like he said it. He said, "Mary." And instantly, she said, "Rabboni, my master, my teacher." What a thrill. And she was the first witness of the resurrection. He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. He knows your name, my name. "Mary," he said. She recognized his voice, and she was at his feet as a worshiper. And then the Lord said, "You go and tell my brethren. Go into the city, find my brethren." My brethren. I think if I'd have been there, I'd have said, "Find those bunch of backsliders." "Find those backsliders. They said they were going to stand by me. Where are they?" He said, "Go tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go and tell them that I'm alive again." And Mary ran. And she ran, and she ferreted them out. She knew where they were. They were all underground, and she found those disciples. And she said, "Guess what? You'll never believe it. Our Lord's alive again. I saw him. He talked to me. I felt him. I held him. And he's alive again." And she became, Mary became the apostle to the apostles. Right? She became the apostle to the apostles. She became the messenger of the Easter message. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive forevermore. My dear friends, when our Lord Jesus Christ died, he cried, "It is finished," to the glory of God. And he paid the debt 100%. He paid the debt. And God raised him from the dead. And this morning, a risen Christ is God's receipt. But the debt is paid. Hallelujah. He lives. He's alive this morning. I was talking to him this morning. Were you? Christian? Were you in touch with him this morning? He's alive. I present to you a living Christ. Not a Christ that's still hanging, smeared and smothered in blood and spittle on a cross. Not in the arms of Mary, but a Christ that has risen, ascended, and he's gone back to glory. God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I confessed him as my Lord when I was 16 years old, and he changed my whole life. He gave me new drives. He gave me new appetites. He gave me new inspiration. He redirected my whole life. He can do that for you this morning. I'm presenting not a church to you, my friends. I'm not some stuffy, stinking religion. Who wants that? I'm presenting to you a living Christ who's in charge of the universe and who's going to sway universal scepter when he comes back again, and all nations shall bow before him. My friends, those who reject him and ignore him, he'll put them in hell forever. I told you the story of the young fellow who was giving away tracts on a New Jersey ferry boat. He's going around giving out tracts to the passengers who were sitting around going from New Jersey across the Hudson River into Detroit, New York. One young fellow looked at the tract, sneered at the worker, took the tract and tore it up and threw it overboard. Christian worker said, "Young man," he said, "that's God's word you're throwing away, you know." Fellow said, "I always throw this stuff away." Christian worker said, young man, someday God will do the throwing away." He's right. You throw away Christ and God will throw you into hell. That's an insult to God. You think God's going to let you into heaven when you've kept his son off the throne of your heart and rejected him as your savior? You're kidding yourself. You're on your way to hell. That's where God will put men in his eternal prison house who ignore or reject his son. He loves his son so much that, my friends, he's decided that heaven is going to be filled with those who know him, who have trusted him, and who will worship him forever. That will make heaven. Christ will be its center. I present to you a risen Christ this morning, and I urge you and I urge my own heart to be like Mary, to go and tell his disciples and spread the news that Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's sing that song. We're our pianists. Let's get this organ going again here and this piano, and we'll sing "Because He Lives." Will you do that? Will you stand? I'm going to do something this morning I've never done before. I'm going to do something, just hold it a minute. I'm going to do something I've never done before on a Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you to make a great big circle. A lot of people here, and I want you to join hands and stand around the outskirts, the walls of this auditorium, and the rest of you can come up here on the platform with me. And we're going to sing that beautiful, beautiful song. Let's fill across the front here, right across the front. Come on up here, girls.
Because it is, I can wait tomorrow. Because it is,
and you come in on the chorus.
God sent his son.
They called him Jesus. He came to heal, to love and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. The empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Yet because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all he is done. Because I someone here this morning who would like to say these words. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Let's all say it together. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Hey, somebody never said that before, did you? Did you ever say that before?
I'm not going to put you on the spot. I know most of you did, but some of you perhaps said it for the first time.
Is it true? Do you believe he died for you? That you were such a sinner that it took the death of Christ to save you? Do you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? You believe that? He's alive today.
And now the next step is I'm confessing him with my mouth as my Lord.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, what?
Thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If believing in the heart God raised him from the dead and enthroned him after he died for my sins, and then confessing him as my Lord, I come under his authority. How many of you say that for the first time this morning? Put up your hand. You're taking a stand for the Lord. How many are? First time. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Anybody? Say it. I heard a voice. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Is there anyone else? Don't be ashamed. If you've never done it before, do it today. I believe God by His Holy Spirit is speaking to some man here in this place. Don't be a cowardly, don't let the devil smother that testimony. Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord. What do you say? Brings release when we confess it. Brings release. Really does. Are you glad you're a Christian? How would it be if we sing it because he lives? I can say it tomorrow and then hallelujah. Let's sing hallelujah after we sing. And now like a word of benediction, we'll go home. Father, we are so thankful that our Lord is alive today and loves us and has power to save to the uttermost those who put their trust in Him. Bless the moms and dads who are here. Bless the children who are here this morning, the young people. We thank Thee for them. Lord, we give ourselves afresh to Thee and a fresh dedication, what You want to do in our lives. Make us like Mary, Lord, tellers of the good news, not ashamed of our Lord. Oh, rekindle within us that love for thyself. Glorify thy name. May thy grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit rest upon us now as we dismiss in his blessed name. And all the people said, Amen. Shake hands and come back tonight at 6 o'clock.